Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Welcome, After Buzzers. You're watching the After Show for Succession, Season 2, Episode 6, Our Justice, where tonight we talk, we hear for you. Shiv hits the fan, and Nan says no. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome, AfterBuzzers, Succession superfans. We are back. I'm your host, Shaka Smith, joined by my awesome co-host, head of Popcorn Talk, Mr. Ryan Nilsson.
Thank you, guys. So excited to talk about this episode. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Shaka.
Oh, jeez. I'm still
Shaka.
A little floored. That was, yeah,
shocking.
Right. Oh, wow. Man, guys. We have our news, our predictions, our flex moment where we talk about a character that really bosses up, and our savage line, so stay tuned for those. But I gotta get into this, our overall thoughts.
Ooh.
Can already kind of tell our overall thoughts,
dude,
right?
We were the reaction. I wish we had a camera on us,
right?
The last 5 minutes where you're just jaw dropped,
mind blown.
I felt afraid.
Yeah.
For the Roy kids.
Yeah, right?
For next episode, and I almost didn't say a word until we saw the preview for next week, which I'm not going to get into yet, but just because I needed to know, like, what was going to happen. Like, I just didn't want to be the one to talk to Logan Roy after all that went down.
Yeah. And what was your, what did you take from this episode?
What did I take from it? Oh, my goodness. They might be, as Stu said, dead in the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a shocking turn of events. And it happened in an angle I don't think we were prepared for. Like, how many skeletons do they have in the closet?
Yeah.
How many things do they really not know about?
Yeah.
And even asking Logan, like, you don't tell us anything. Like, we don't know what's out there. He's like, the more you don't know, the less you know, the better.
Yeah.
Like, they can't use it against you. And man, the consequences.
Yeah, that was same overall thoughts were like the consequences, the things that are just like happening. And the show goes there.
Right.
So that's what I was like. The show is willing to let the deal fall apart and see how this family succeeds.
And it's
you know?
The first time we're seeing Logan Roy truly not get his way.
Yeah, he's on his heels. You know, he's just out of sorts. So I was just, I was shocked that the show lets it go there in that way. But thinking to myself, there's so many secrets. If they all get out, this family can't survive. So that was my sort of takeaway. But let's start off with a little bit lighter fare and the We Here For You.
Just like We Here For You every Sunday
exactly.
At 7 p.m.
Like
tune in
this.
Live if you're watching on the playback. But We Here For You. What a funny subplot.
Yeah, and they gave us a little bit. It's a funny subplot, but they also gave us another little thread that could unravel later. So wait, Etienne's actually listening to people in the set-top boxes, and it looks like the public isn't generally aware.
Yeah, it's sort of like an Amazon Echo.
Yeah, but at least we know about it. Can you imagine if we didn't know about it and with, you know, that came out later that it was a secret?
Right. I mean, just that hysterical scene where Greg runs after Tom on the rain safari trip. And he's like, you hooked me up. And with the best people, he's like, listen, you chose the slogan.
Yeah.
We're listening. And we are listening.
Yeah.
And maybe we're not. Like, maybe you should change it to we hear you.
Yeah.
He's like, isn't that the same thing?
Yeah.
So funny. Greg and Tom are one of the best dynamic duos on TV.
I
love them, man.
But here's the thing.
Oh.
After Greg kind of went to Tom with that little bit of blackmail, Tom was supposed to give him a little bit of a leg up, but Greg is still in full assistant mode. You know, in fact, Tom wants to know if you got the champagne or the nut platter. I can leave it for predictions, but I'm wondering, like, is Greg going to at some point be like, wait a minute, I'm still here, just, you know, you're lackey here.
He plays just the he doesn't know what to do. He's unsure of himself so well.
Yeah.
That, I mean, even if he is in a position that's higher than Tom's, I don't think he could tell Tom what to do ever. I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, it's so funny how whenever he tries to stick up for himself a little bit, it's just like he's putting in so much effort and time. It's so great. I don't know. I think that's probably going to be a through line throughout the rest of the season. I think that the Greg, he's been rising the ranks every episode, even though he's the least qualified. He doesn't know what to do. He gets himself into horrible situations. He kind of saved the day, sort of, by letting them know that. It's just, it's funny because he points out a problem. He doesn't really have a solution.
Yeah.
He offers up something that's equally as bad as "we hear you," but then "we hear for you," which, like, the way they got there.
That bit of dialogue was amazing, right?
But it's still not okay.
Yeah, it's like, not great.
It's broken English. Yeah, it's just like...
But I love that they kind of leave Tom and Greg to their own machinations in this show.
Right. And you think it's going to be the problem.
Yeah.
You think when they do this presentation, that slogan's going to be even worse. And people just kind of are all right with it.
They're the small potatoes of what's going on with this Roy family.
Yeah. You know? Oh, my gosh.
But I did love the interaction between Tom getting surprised by Shiv. You know, Tom, he's just never in the know. Even with his own wife, he's never in the know. What did you think about the interaction between Shiv and Tom and Nia? Mm. It's interesting to see Shiv get a little bit jealous here.
I mean, I think their relationship's been always really fascinating. I think at the end of season one, you know, she confessed to him that she had seen other people, and he also saw someone else. And it's more of like a polygamy, you know, multi-person relationship, but there's some gray area rules where if you could put a face on someone, I guess she was with an actor in the play that they also brought back up.
That was my thing, because I always thought that Tom, you know, I think I made a prediction that at some point in the future he might be upset by this relationship and go rogue on Shiv.
Mm.
And we saw a little bit that he's been holding a grudge about this actor because he said, "I didn't know for 10 days. Oh, and the actor in the play financed by your brother." So, and he had that all ready. He wasn't just like, you know, fishing for things to say. Yeah.
And she's like, "Well, you can't put a face on that person."
Yeah.
I know Nia.
Yeah.
I can think of her. And you're like, yeah, is that different? I don't.
And Shiv didn't strike me as a jealous person, but now I'm like seeing, oh, she could be jealous. This might not actually work for her either.
Right. And I think Tom liked that.
Yeah, he definitely loved it. I think he's still angry about the actor.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's going to also be another one of these things that it's a weird part of their relationship.
Yeah.
And maybe down the line, one of them's going to overstep that area.
Yeah. I think Shiv already has. I think Tom's still dealing with that. Yeah.
Right, but he's just obviously not as in a powerful position as her.
Yeah.
So,
and he's willing to kind of take it for right now, but yeah.
Because his job's tied in all this.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's really funny, yeah. I think. But it's also pretty interesting that I think if she does it again, if she breaks that line, which she's teetering.
Yeah, I feel like they need to have a new conversation about this relationship.
They need to get it on writing or something like that.
And speaking of getting things in writing, we want your positive comments and, of course, your positive ratings.
Yes, we do. And guys, like I said up top, AfterBuzz, we here for you, all of you Succession fans. So please, whenever you're watching on YouTube, comment below. If you're in the live chat, yes, we're live every Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you're listening to this on iTunes, join in the live chat one of these days. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. It really helps the show. And put in the comments what you like about the show. We love interacting with you. And thank you for making us the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes. And remember, we're listening.
Thank you for listening. We're here for you.
Oh, man. So now we got to talk about Shiv hits the fan.
Shiv hits the fan.
Yeah, I loved her entire storyline. I'm really loving Shiv as a character. I love that she was left out and then had to be brought in.
Right.
Yeah, what did you think about her being left out in the first place and then being brought back in?
Okay, so she's had a up and down season.
Yeah.
I think at the end of last week, she was on a bit of a low. She may or may not have almost blown a deal.
See, I was on the opposite end.
You're on the opposite
end. I thought
end.
She you know, she stumbled into it, but I thought she made herself indispensable, yeah.
It's a good point. For this episode, yeah, at first I think she just wanted to be away from it because she was worried it would go south and she'd be the face of the problem. But after interacting with Rhea, realizing, oh no, I have to do this or the deal's going to fall apart. And then she overdoes it.
Yeah.
She wanted to do it solo.
Yeah.
Which I can't help but imagine, like, I don't know if it would have been much different if she did solo. She called Logan a dinosaur.
Well, I think it would have been different if she did solo.
You think so?
Yeah, because I saw their dynamic as the siblings come out during that. And without that, I think either one of them on their own would have been stronger than all three of them there together.
Bickering.
Yeah,
so you think that them interacting on stage might have... I guess intimidated her or instigated?
Not intimidated her, but I think it made her move a little bit sharper in her views because she had to, with Kendall, she had to really kind of differentiate herself and not look like she was kind of kowtowing to the corporate lines of what takes place during that.
So she, in an effort to maybe separate herself from her siblings, she shit on her dad.
Yeah.
Like dinosaur.
Yeah,
she called him old dinosaur. And like, wow, what a weird, this does play into Shiv still. After the presentation, you know, Roman's doubling down like, yeah, you called him a dinosaur, an old dinosaur. You roasted him, barbecued him, and he slaps him right in the face.
I mean, because that speaks to Logan Roy, like every fear that Logan Roy has, you know. And
his go-to attack.
But you know, it's interesting when we saw that with Roman, because that started to remind me of this whole Jerry relationship with Roman.
Mm.
And thinking, okay, that's where this idea of being small and not worthy comes from. Because you notice when his dad hit him, he was fine with it. He, you know, like Kendall stepped in, and Kendall was protective of Roman in that moment.
Yeah, he did.
He really stepped, which made me think this isn't the first time that, you know, Kendall's seen this before and doesn't want Roman
hurt. Was interesting.
And so
so you think maybe when they were kids.
Oh, I think Roman, I think dad definitely probably beat up on Roman more so than he beat up on anybody else.
But do you think Kendall,
and I think Kendall stepped in several times before as a kid to protect Roman. And that's what I saw in that scene. Yeah.
Fascinating. Because, I love that.
That whole thing where Roman was so fine with it, I was like, okay, this is where the whole interplay with Jerry comes in.
Right.
I was being my little psychologist trying to figure it all out.
You're diagnosing it pretty well. Yeah. Dr. Shaka. But I completely agree. I think that was a really fascinating scene, in that it's almost like the company didn't matter in a moment there for Kendall.
Yeah.
It was really cool because we've seen he's been such a zombie the past few episodes, and there was an immediate brother reaction, like a guttural, like, do not hit him, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like it was instinctive if it had been happening before.
It was instinctive, that's a great way to put it. It's really fascinating.
But Shiv was flying high after that. And I guess let's just unpack the whole scenario, and I guess we can talk about it a little under Nan Says No.
Sure.
Because we know that Nan Says No because of these whole sexual allegations that have, you know, come to light. And it's interesting because I think we've all had these conversations, but of course, because the Roy family is dealing with it, they're having a little bit more explicitly. So, you know, we're in the Me Too era. So we have these allegations that are made, but I think there has been a cognitive distinction between one or two singular allegations from 25 to 30 years ago versus, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, the 5 to 10 to 15 women coming out. Where did you fall in them kind of making those distinctions?
Between for the issue, the article.
Yeah, for how to handle it, this idea.
So I guess 20 some years ago on a boat, on one of their shipping boats, woman was killed.
Well, no, so I think one woman was sexually killed. I guess committed suicide.
And she then another, died, and it might have been foul play. We don't know.
And then another woman is saying that they had to sign these contracts.
She
didn't sign it.
Right.
But she would get the contract if she had slept with the guy. She didn't sleep with him, so there was no contract.
So there's a lot of inferred, like, okay, there was probably foul play. Yeah. It's a weird coincidence that she committed suicide after not signing the NDA. Right.
And no one else is talking because of the NDA.
It's a bad look. It's a really bad look. And that was a hysterical scene when they're all in the cabin just reading the article, like, Isn't that bad?
Yeah.
It's probably bad. It's not that bad, though.
Well,
just literally measuring, what they say, something like measuring the victimhood of it. It's like, how, on the scale of like worst to like 0 to 10, where is it?
Well, I think the corporate conversation has changed because now you don't know. I think back in the day, if there was an allegation like that, you simply, you know, like they said, condemn it and move on.
Right.
Right. And that was easy. But now you can't condemn it. People have to know that you're looking at it and investigating it. And whether it's Twitter and social media, it's going to blow up once it's in the news. And so they're trying to figure out
the victim math. That's what they said. The victim math.
Yeah.
Which is like messed up to think, but I bet the conversations do happen for corporations.
Every single day for corporations.
And they're like, they come to that conclusion of, yeah, we should condemn and move on, even though Kendall doesn't feel that way. It might be the safer play. However, in their circumstance with trying to make a deal with Pierce, if they do that, that might mess up their deal. They might need to show some kind of, like, pump their chest out and really do something that's not the typical corporate strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I think they overplayed, or not overplayed the hand, but misread it in terms of, I think they should have let Shiv go out solo. You know, whether or not it would have seemed like weakness or playing into the hands of this story, I think it would have been a stronger position, because when she had to kind of battle against Kendall, even when Kendall kind of spoke over her, it almost seemed a little misogynist for a second, you know?
It did.
And even any look of that nature in this kind of forum, you don't want.
It's interesting because Kendall's one line on stage.
Yeah.
And we even had a comment from the chat, Kaylin Baby saying their family was a mess. That was on display on that stage.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we get to see a core value of all three, and that Kendall's was, yeah, whatever they want, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Just very passive.
No, that was Roman.
Oh, sorry, Roman. Yeah. Roman, whatever they want, they'll do it. While Kendall is very much like, it's calculated. We haven't done the investigation yet. We're going to say we're going to do it, and then hopefully it dies out in the press. And then Shiv's like, we need to make a big statement.
Shiv's
right
new school. So, yeah.
She's new school.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah. Kendall's old school. That's how you handle it. And then she's new school, where she's saying, look, we got to like address it. Like, let people feel that we feel the victim too.
Make an impact.
Yeah.
But that's the eagerness of her.
But I think that's the right way to go in today's society, in today's climate.
You're probably right.
But I think they misread it, so.
Oh, my goodness. And then, oh my gosh. Well, real quick, we're just finishing up with Roman.
Yeah.
So Roman does pay another visit to Jerry's room.
Yeah, of course.
We've done this, I think, 3 episodes now.
But now we have, and I liked Roman trying to figure out their relationship,
a potential team up.
Yeah, exactly. When Jerry even sent him to talk to Edward to, you know, collect the financing or help with the financing, you know, he said, what is this? Is this you now? Is this your part of how you get off? And right. So I think he's trying to figure out the boundaries of this. And I'm enjoying seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, he straight up says team up. He goes, you know, you're the passive filing cabinet that everyone just admires and likes and counts on being there, but kind of falls
effective,
in between the cracks.
Yeah.
Effective, efficient,
but boring.
And I'm the rock star. I'm the loud moron that, you know, I'll make a big impact. Everyone sees me, but I'll come home and you'll be making pea soup.
But they are a pretty good pair, don't you think?
We'd get the numbers. I think they are.
It's chairman and CEO.
It's the most odd pairing.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah.
I think it works a lot. So, I think it gets me hyped because it's just something you don't see on TV a lot.
Yeah, like, and how would they now proceed going forward? It'd be interesting to see how they decide to like team up.
Right, and what would the dynamic be? Would it be he's CEO and she's chair, or she's CEO and he's chair?
Oh, well, I don't think it matters. I think it's just he's going to be the public face of the company, and she'll be like who the board can trust to make sure everything is like flying.
The puppet master.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Yeah, I cannot wait to see how that all ends up, because Jerry is that to us as the viewers too. She is the one who's always there. Yeah. Seems to have it all together.
Yeah.
But doesn't get a lot of credit for
it. But her last name isn't Roy too, yeah.
Great point.
But we got to talk a little bit about Nan saying no. And Nan...
Oh, my gosh.
And this was the first time we've seen Rhea Jarrell. Rhea Jarrell was really hit hard here.
Yeah.
Because she's been so on it, so smooth.
Right.
But it looks like Nan has woken up a little bit.
She's seen the light. I mean, she calls everyone out.
Yeah.
It's saying that she's been played. She's been sandbagged.
And I think she knew it. I think she was willing to be played for a little bit in order to get the deal for the family. But now it's sort of offending her morals and her principles, and everybody knows about it.
It clicked with the comedian.
Yeah.
Which was so fun. I thought it was going to be any other number of things. I thought it could have been Tom doing the weird slogan, just like, okay, these people don't have it together. It could have been the three siblings on stage. It could have been calling Logan a dinosaur. It could have been all these things, or the article for that matter. But no, it was a comedian making jokes that were so funny because they were true.
And the one guy said to Logan, funny because it's true. But I think the comedian also, remember, they're at our justice. So the very wealthiest of the wealthiest are here. And I think the comedian really represented what people would be talking about at home. And Nan is hearing this. And Nan, I think, relates more to that person sitting about down by the fire at home and chatting about the day's news, you know? And that would be exactly what was on their mind.
It made me think of the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
In that, you know, usually, anytime I've watched that personally, I'm so excited for the comedian.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see, like, it's an open roast. Like, you are there. Everyone's
there.
And
it's pretty much true, usually, what they're saying. They might be using some hyperbole, but it's true. And that's what hits hard.
It really
like,
is.
Funny.
And I think, like, the past 2 years, I don't think the president's been there. But, like, you know, for decades, that was the place, and it's so funny, and, like, comedians get their careers made doing
that. They didn't even have a comedian last year, because...
Right. Yeah. And there's not even laughter, but what was so... It's just crazy, even at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, when there is a laugh.
Yeah.
Because usually it's the staff of the people that, like, support who's being roasted, and they don't say anything. There's just a little chatter. The mics don't pick it up. I've been told... Or I've heard from many comedians that it's one of the hardest gigs to do because there's no laughter, but you know at home that's where most of the laughs are.
Everyone's loving it.
So when there is a laugh, you know it's really funny because even people on that person's side are like, that's true. So here, I mean, it was, he was crushing, and that was enough for Nan.
Yeah, was Greg laughing? Greg might have been laughing. He might have been the only one.
Greg's like, Greg, I hope he don't pick on me. Yeah. I'm like, dude, he doesn't know who you are.
But you could tell he wanted him to be, wanted to be picked on.
Right. And yeah, she gets up and Logan's checking on her the whole time.
And have we have never seen Logan this fired out of himself, really.
Oh my gosh.
And so
helpless.
So yeah, he lost it at the end. He lost it. What did that make you feel going forward about his temperament?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think...
And why is he this desperate?
Well, that's what was... that's a great question, too. I think what's so fascinating is every time Logan has been desperate or we've seen him look helpless, it's worked out. Yeah. Even last week's episode, you know, he always does a bluff where, you know, okay, this Pierce deal isn't working. I'm going to bluff and be like, fine, we don't need you anyway, and get on the helicopter. And he had that spat. He freaked out because he kept checking his phone. There was no deal. But as soon as he got off, they need, you know, that they're like, all right, we give in.
Yeah.
It's always worked out for him. Even the vote of no confidence, he's intimidated people to side with them. It's always intimidation. It's just holding out. He's always got something on someone, and this just didn't work.
And he came so close to the dinner, and Kendall's just checking the phone, and they're trying to get that LOI signed. So close.
They didn't push hard enough.
So close. But you could tell that the push wouldn't have worked if they pushed any harder at that time. They almost got the LOI, but then Rhea got that text, and Rhea now knew about the news.
And Rhea wanted this deal to go through from the start. You can tell because Nan fires her.
So Nan says no. She says she's being rolled by Rhea. What do we know about Rhea's role in this? Because Rhea does seem to have an extra interest for some reason that I'm not seeing quite yet. Have you seen, is there anything telling you why Rhea's disinterested in this deal closing?
When we were introduced to her, it was that episode where they had to go into the safe room.
Yeah.
And she was really worried the whole time she was there that she would be, because she had to be there for a prolonged time in the safe room, that you know, people would see her there, be reported that she was there. Like, why was she at the Roy family? And Nan didn't know about any of it, we knew. But I think that worry came to a hold because she was just taking all these meetings with Logan. She got exposed. And I think, you know, it's unfortunate that she got exposed like that. You could just tell, though, the look in her face that she really wanted to go through for other reasons.
But I don't know. I feel like maybe that's my predictions, but there's something more.
There's something more.
Because I really thought there wouldn't be much more, but now this last episode especially, where it seems like she's angling more for the closing of the deal than just for the Roy family and what might be a nice little step, like a nice little bonus for her, which I thought, I mean, for the Pierce family. That's what I thought it was. It was like, oh, I'm going to get a nice little bonus when we close it. But there's something more. It seems like there's something more.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. It all came to a hold. Nan called everyone out, and just the image of Logan Roy chasing after a car, like even an old man just like furious, shouting at the top of their lungs to stop, and Nan is not listening.
Yeah, and already the vultures are out. People saw him not feeling so well at dinner, I guess.
He's off. I mean, he's off.
Yeah.
It's because he can't do it himself. He really needs the siblings, or his children, and his staff to help, and they can't do it.
And I'm wondering if there's another shoe that's going to fall, because the desperation that he had. But there was a key moment where he speaks to Marcia and says, there might be something more coming. And she says, I know who you are. And she looks at him and gives him the reassurance. And he looked back at her as if, you don't even know, like a tenth. Like, he just gave her this look like, that's, you know, that's cold comfort.
Like, do you know?
Yeah, like, that's cold comfort because you don't even know everything.
Speaking of Marcia, I mean, again, last week, there was something off between them. It seems like everything's better.
Well, I think she was mad because of the way she feels like she's just a cog in the company. Right. But she's like, I'm your partner.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's one of those things that gets smoothed over, you know, for a little bit.
A rift.
And then it comes back again, and then it's stronger, then smoothed over. And then, so if he doesn't address it at some point, she might, you know, blow up for real. But I think it's smoothed over, but I think she doesn't even know everything. I think what she does, we'll see.
I agree. Just looking at the chat real quick. Another one from Kaylin Baby. The comedian was the nail in the coffin. Couldn't agree more. Obviously, he was worried the moment he, I think the comedian said the word Roy, he was already glancing over.
Like, oh no. Like,
oh gosh.
Man.
A team up with Jerry, with Roman is beneficial to both IMO. Yep. I completely agree with that. And I agree. I swear I don't think that this is the first time he's hit one of his kids.
Yeah.
No, remember he hit the nephew. He hit Kendall's kid. Not nephew, the grand's kid. My sis keeps saying, remember when he hit Kendall's son in season one? Yeah. Yes, that was a major, that was NBC's The Slap. Like, it was, ooh, it's always shocking. And yeah, I guess that happened a lot. And that's his go-to. Like, he obviously was an abusive father.
Yeah, and probably drinking and the whole thing. And so, but.
Oh my gosh.
But let's get into our special segments.
Yes, please.
So we got to first. Let's start with our savage lines.
There.
So if you guys are there, it's pretty explanatory. Savage lines, but we're just going to go over a couple of our savage lines from the episode. And I think you got one.
What was the most savage line?
There's always a billion. From
The dialogue in the show is so good. Yeah. I love when we get to pick out. A piece, just saying, like, hey, what was just the best insult? Yeah. Veep was great with this, too. And there's a few HBO shows that are awesome at this. How about you go first?
Well, you know, before I say my... I have an honorable mention.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, syphilis. The MySpace of STDs. Almost forgot about that one.
Oh, I completely...
The MySpace How's he look? STDs.
Looks okay. Syphilis.
And I love that they all had the same surprise that we had, too. We're like, syphilis. We don't hear that one every day.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there. Okay. Great honorable mention. The one I'll say is this was super early on. The episode starts with them on the plane.
Yeah.
And Kendall just lays into some members of staff going like, this isn't kindergarten. You're not here to learn. I will fucking fire you. That and he goes, put the fucking snacks away and throws the snacks just on the ground. You're like, whoa.
And I love that scene because it reminded us that Kendall's the boss. When like, Kendall is, like, the man.
Yeah.
Because we forget. We see him sometimes, you know, the inner family stuff. But we forget that when he comes to talk to other people, he is the dude.
He got that intimidating gene from Logan, for sure.
Yeah. And where you understand, like, you know, he means business, but you also understand why he's telling you what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
What was your savage line?
My savage line... So, another honorable mention. Greg had a couple of good ones when he meets Edward. A big fan of all your money. And of course, when he goes in the bathroom room and, oh, you're doing the whole cocaine.
The old cocaine, eh? Yeah. And he wanted a bump. Yeah. I was like, wow, Greg, jeez.
But okay. The savage line I loved was from Rhea Jarrell, where she's speaking to Shiv, and she tells her, and it's sort of like a savage paragraph, but it was like, you accumulate capital, sometimes you accumulate capital, and then there's time to spend it, and said, well, my dad worked in an asbestos plant, you know, what do I know, essentially, but there is a time to accumulate your capital and a time to spend that capital,
right.
And the whole point was, her dad worked in an asbestos plant where,
he's
accumulating the capital, but then asbestos kills you, so you don't get a chance, so I just love that whole interplay, that whole speech.
It totally dissects the fact that, like, hey, while you're getting your capital, you could be dying.
Yeah. And I think Shiv has always, she's always holding something in the pocket for later, you know, got this. And I think a lot of people in the corporate culture do that. And so it's that time to, now it's the time to use it, but she didn't get to get on that stage solo.
One other line I got, you know, we had Kendall's old pal Stu.
Stu was great. Yes.
He was at the meeting. He was there, and every time he would just, you know, walk by him or something, there was a little jab from him. And right after they get the news, the article about the boating incident, he goes, "Yeah, I just hear you know, your company's dead in the water." You're like, oh.
The lines from this one, man, I'll tell you.
Yeah, so good.
I feel like we need to get the script and just, like, pick them out. They're so good.
We really should. Should we move on?
Yeah, of course. We're going to have our flex moments.
That was our
audio drop. This is when our characters kind of boss up and have a flex moment.
It could be power, just showing the flex. I mean, the ultimate flex tonight from Nan, of course. Just... telling Logan Roy no.
Yeah.
It sounds like a simple feat.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, she said, if you want to have the conversation now, no.
No. And if we do want to have it, we're done. It's over. Yep. You can schedule an appointment to find out why. We're done. And then just not turning away. You know, in acting classes, whenever there's a scene where a character is exiting a room, it's almost like you need to convince your scene partner that you are actually going to leave.
Yeah.
And sometimes you actually have to leave and to encourage your scene partner to make you
to
stay.
To give you that, yeah.
She was gone.
Yeah.
And you could see Brian Cox doing everything in his power to get her to stay, and she would not.
That was hands down the boss moment of. But I do have my baby boss moment, my baby flex moment. I loved Shiv saying no initially to the whole presentation. The guy, because essentially they wanted to just use her because she was a female to be on that stage, and she even said, "You want to put this up my uterus and smother in estrogen?" And she said, "No, I'm not going to go out there."
Almost a prop, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that was I loved that baby flex moment of the episode, and of course it was Rhea that convinced her to make the change. So it wasn't that she was just listening to the guys and doing it.
Right.
She decided to do it because Rhea let her know that this could be the closer for the deal.
On her own accord. So she didn't have to be pressured into doing it from her family. She changed her mind.
Yeah, and we see a lot of times the Roy kids being very sycophantic, wanting to do exactly what Dad says. She always pushes back. I mean, maybe she would push too hard on the panel, but she always pushes back a little bit, like, "Oh, you left me out, now you want me to be in our justice?" And like, as if she's not going to go, you know?
Right.
So I like that she's finding that voice, but may have gone a little too far this time.
Great. Great flex moments this episode. Oh my goodness.
And of course we have our news.
News. AfterBuzz TV News. So this is a throwback to last week's episode where there was something that happened we didn't really talk much about, but Kendall Roy seemed to have pooped the bed.
Oh, yes.
Pooped the bed last week after he went on that...
Turd Haven, as we said.
Turd Haven, yes. After he went on that little trip with that girl, and you know, it's the question of, do addicts really poop in their beds? I don't know. So there was an article on slate.com answering whether or not that is a thing, and it indeed is a thing where that seem you can sometimes, you know, people pee the bed.
Yeah,
you know, usually you get potty trained and you can wake up and do it. If you're an addict, that happens. And I had no idea that
happens in absence of a bender?
If you go to bed maybe like high on heroin or cocaine or anything like that in absence of a bender, as opposed to like your body just, there's those parts of the muscles in your body.
Because they've used this drug so much or whatever.
They've been drugged up, they loosen up. They're at ease. Gotcha. So that's why some people start, you know, they throw up in their sleep or... You know, they wet the beds. That is a thing where, under certain controlled substances. If you have a massive intake, that can absolutely happen. I had no idea about this. And obviously, they were drinking. I think they did cocaine.
Yeah.
And I think they were smoking. So it was just like...
I mean, I'm probably any other number of drugs.
The most crossed you could be. And yeah, really fascinating. You should get a diaper.
Well, I'm glad you had to look this up. That's good.
That is today's news. I mean, the one other thing is, just one other beat, is that the Succession ratings are going up.
Oh,
you know,
course.
At the beginning of the season, I was talking about how, like, you know, not many people are watching the show. You know, Yellowstone on Stars is getting more views, and that's a pretty small show. The views have increased by 3 million people this year in terms of, like, tuning into the actual show.
Clearly, we're doing our part.
Clearly, we're doing our part. But I also just think the show's getting more and more popular. Like, people are hearing about this season. It had a slow start to season one, so people slept on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a first season fan... Is it just as good for you as it was then?
This is better.
Oh, this is better. Okay, so they did just...
Oh my gosh, Bore on the Floor?
Yeah.
Like, this season is... It's been a great season so far. So I can't wait. I hope it finishes strong.
It's got to.
But it's getting more popular.
Yeah, it's got to finish strong because the episodes are getting better. They're getting just... They're just getting deeper and deeper and like, yeah.
Yeah, the characters are so rich. They're so great. And you really... I just can't wait each week to see what, like, Greg, Tom, Kendall, Shiv, Roy, Logan, anyone, you know, what they're all up to.
Yeah, I think sometimes when the characters are so rich and so full and so realistic, it takes time to develop them on the screen, too, so that you set up the viewer for the payoff that we can get for hopefully several seasons to come.
Definitely.
Yeah, so.
And what a falling out this one.
But let us get to our predictions.
And now, you're after
A lot to predict.
Oh, yeah.
I think we really got to go off of that teaser for next week.
Do a prediction absent the teaser.
Absent
the
teaser?
If you didn't see the teaser.
I mean, okay, so... the episode ends with the car driving away and him shouting, "Stop." Yeah. So I'm thinking, my prediction is he's going to go back into the room and flip out at, like, all of his kids just saying, like, we lost the deal. So, I mean, I honestly, that's the whole thing, is like, you really don't know what's going to happen. Like, he's such an unpredictable man that when something this crazy, this devastating, how is he going to react?
Is there any, seen it. Is there any rescuing this deal? Is can he get Nan back to the table? Or is, I mean, Nan looked like a solid no to me.
Doesn't she? Right. I mean, I think it
happens.
But
people
to be,
do come back and negotiate, yeah.
That's a good point. I think something would have to happen.
With the allegations.
With Pierce. Or, like, maybe Nan would have to get, like, ousted. Or something outside of Logan Roy's control would have to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe. And it might just be, they might counter and say, like, someone has to be off the board. Or something might just happen with that company in general. But right now, the state where everyone is.
Not looking good.
It's dead in the water.
Yeah. I mean, I think. The thing is, there's so much that could unravel, so I don't know if it's all going to unravel, or if just one or two things will unravel. I think they'll be able to save the deal based on saving face with the news. Mm. I don't know how they're going to make the news better about the allegations, but I think they'll do something with the news to make it better. Whether or not they get her to sign another NDA or whatever, or they pay her off, or but because the only thing that's going to change something is if that story changes, right?
I have a prediction.
Yeah.
This just came into my head. This is going back to Jerry and Roman.
Yeah.
Jerry telling Roman, hey, see that guy? He should be our backup plan in case something happens. And he did make somewhat of a encounter with him, as brief as it might have been. He said, yeah, if you choose to, you know, cover where I'm from in a independent manner, obviously through our lens. It's not really independent, is it? But I think they might go with him.
So... Yeah.
just as, I mean, it's not Pierce.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that is another.
I think it's a solid backup that it looks like they have an into.
So I predict they go with that. Should we do ones with the teaser?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, the teaser, dude, it's like they're bringing up the car crash. They're bringing it from season one with Kendall. So is that coming back in the limelight? They're bringing up the stuff with Tom.
I figured that had to come back in somehow, but it looks like it's coming back in a bigger way.
I think I heard a line saying, you hit the busboy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he drove into the
so people are have some conflicting
did he
accounts.
Hit him?
No, I don't.
Did Logan hit him?
I don't recall there being a hit, so yeah.
I kind of think Logan hit him.
I don't remember.
It'd be I think Logan slapped him.
So it'd be crazy if they think Logan somehow
Logan
killed the busboy.
Every guy. Like,
so do you think Logan killed, or the story is that Logan killed the busboy, then Logan throws Kendall under the bus, or tell the truth really
under
the bus?
That would be crazy. Yeah, because he might not have a choice.
Yeah,
he might have.
Or I mean, he would have a choice. He could go down for it, or he.
But the thing is, if it would have to be how he throws Kendall under the bus, because if he knew about it and didn't share it, he would also be.
Well, that's less culpability than the
So maybe that's what happens, but that's coming up, so that's a huge deal. They also showed Tom with the whole, like, if Greg's bringing up, like, I need copies of those documents. I need them.
So do you think more happens with Cruises? Is there more fallout from this story?
There's got to be. There's so many ticking time bombs, and I think they're all. It looks like they're all coming to.
Well, the writers are willing to, like, let them all come out,
right? Yeah. And I mean, he brought it back up when they were talking about Nia with Shiv this episode. He's like, wait a minute, like if you talk about it, it's this person, then me. Like they were reminding us as viewers that that's still a thing. Yeah. So
and now where do you think Shiv lands? I think Shiv had a decently secure spot, especially with this deal going down. Mm-hmm. Now the deal looks like it's off, and you know Shiv is just essentially called Logan the Dinosaur. Do you think she's still in the family's orbit, or is she going to be out next season, next episode?
I think she's still moving in the family's orbit, and I just saw someone in the chat saying, "No, the dude moved the wheel to avoid hitting the deer in the road." Yeah, that's what happened. But I'm saying I think in the preview for next week, it looked like. Someone wrote a story that the reason the car crashed
that
was
someone hit
about the punch, like omitting Kendall. That's what I think the press.
But I'm not
thinks.
Sure if they're saying Kendall or Logan.
Or Logan, we don't know yet. Yeah. Because what happened was, again, obviously Kendall drove it in, and because he didn't have the right side of stick and he avoided hitting a deer. But just clearing that up. I mean, look, for some reason since episode one, I've been thinking like, okay, Shiv is going to go down like Kendall did season one. This is episode 6. This was when Kendall went down.
Yeah, no, yeah. Shiv to me is not going.
I don't think she's going down. I think I can't sleep on her anymore. Yeah. Like, she is sticking around. She's the smartest.
And she's a smart
kid.
Choice. She's also the smart choice in the atmosphere, especially given the story, to lead the company. And she seems capable to lead the company.
Right.
And she's insulated from all the bad stuff because she was outside of the company for so long.
And she knows everything.
But I think she just really pissed off Logan, and that might be enough to be out. So, I mean, if Roman got the slap, that was sort of indicative of his feelings.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, Kellyanne Baby just said the paper that was shown in the teaser said bullied to death. Oof. As if the Buster was bullied and then he killed himself, maybe. Oh my gosh.
Well, we got a lot to unpack next episode.
Yes, we
super
do.
Excited.
Cannot wait.
Oh my god. Guys, thank you for joining us. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
And I'm Ryan Nilsson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ryan Nilsson, NILSCN _. That's NILSCN _. Thank you so much for watching. And please go on iTunes, give us a review.
Yes, we're here for you next week.
We're here for you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.